Just a few months ago, hardly anyone in the world had heard of coronavirus. But now the whole world is impacted by the effect of coronavirus 2019, COVID-19. It's had a massive effect to society all over the world. It's just made life so much more difficult, so much full of suffering, extra suffering. The whole world is full of suffering, but especially now from this coronavirus. Still only a very small percentage of the world's population has actually got the disease, and a much smaller percentage still has actually died of it. But everyone's affected by it, directly or indirectly, either by the fear of it, or by lockdown, or by the economic turndown it's caused, or by the losing jobs. And it just seems to go on and on and on. When will it all end? When will this virus end? We can't say for sure, and it seems the scientists who are trying to get on top of it and combat it, they also can't say for sure, but all the indications are there that it's going to go on for many more months still, at least a year, and then there's talk of other similar pandemics to follow. It seems like the suffering is just going to drag on and on and on, and we look forward to returning to normalcy, to life as it was before. But was normal life before really so good? We want to get back to the way we were living life previously, but was no one suffering? Was everyone dancing in the streets with ecstasy? Was it all peaches and cream? By no means. There wasn't this pandemic situation, but nevertheless, people were struggling, and there wasn't a fear was absent, or death was absent, or disease was absent, or economic struggle was absent. Normalcy, as analyzed from the vision, the viewpoint of, or the clear understanding of Vedic knowledge, what we call normalcy, is the opportunity to pursue eating, sleeping, mating, and defending in the illusion that this is normal. This is it. This is what life is all about. This is nice. So we're looking forward to going back to normal. But what is normal? Actually, it's normal in material existence that there is suffering. And it may not be so widespread or spectacular as this COVID-19 virus, but this will die down, and then it'll die down in due course of time, because everything in the material world, it has a beginning and an end. So it'll die down, and then there may be another pandemic, or there may be a major war, or even a minor war if it's in your own backyard. It's no fun. It's suffering. What else can there be? All kinds of upheavals, economic crashes, or even if nothing so spectacular happens and we just get back to eating, sleeping, mating, and defending with nothing more exciting than, I don't know, what's the latest movie and what's the upcoming cricket match or football match, or we get back to such prosaic activities as that, then we all still have to suffer. We all have to suffer death, COVID virus or not. We all have to suffer old age. We all have to suffer disease, whether it's this disease or any other disease. There are plenty of other diseases, and even if we think we've discovered all the diseases, material nature is arranging more and more diseases. We can't escape. This is the situation of material existence. So the real question should be not when the when not when this virus will end, when will this virus end, but when will suffering end? Or does that seem like a silly question? Is it just in fairy stories, in romance stories, that they lived happily ever after? That's a fairy story, because no one lives happily ever after. Everyone dies, and no one lives happily. And you can say someone is more happy than others, but basically the situation of material existence is not happy. That is stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, that this material world is dukhalayam ashashvatam. It is basically a place of misery. Everything here is temporary. And even without taking this wisdom from Lord Krishna, if one is philosophically inclined and thoughtful, he can see this. The famous case of Lord Buddha, he didn't take instruction from Vedic knowledge about the miserable condition of this world, but intuitively, or by analyzing actually, he could understand kim sukam martya dhaminam, where is the happiness in a place where everyone has to die? How happy can you be? So we've heard that in countries where capital punishment still goes on, or there is a tradition that the person who is to be hanged or shot or lethally injected or whatever, the next morning, the next day, the night before or the day before, he's asked, what would you like for your last meal? And then they arrange whatever you want, right, within reason or possibility. So what happiness are you going to get from your last meal, however nice food it is, knowing that you won't get the chance to poop it out the other side because you'll be dead before that? So kim sukam martya dhaminam, where is the happiness in a world of death? If we consider death, in some schools of Buddhism, they consider death. Think about death all the time. We don't have to die. Well, in Vaishnavism, we think about that too, yes, but we think about life. Life beyond the grave. We are meant to live. This material body is meant to die. But we, spirit souls, eternal living beings, we are meant to live happily in relationship with Krishna. But we are suffering in this material world. So the real question is how to get free from this suffering condition. We want to be happy, but the suffering goes on. Not only in one life, but life after life. Anadi karma phale pari bhavarna vajale taribari nadeki upai. The great Vaishnava poet Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur analyzes that since time immemorial, due to the reactions of our activities within this world, every action has a reaction. We're fallen in the ocean of repeated birth and death. And we just don't know. We don't know how to get out of it. We're stuck. We're eternally drowning. Sometimes we come up. We come up in the ocean water, and we think, now I'm very happy, now I'm a rich man, now I'm a powerful man, now I'm very beautiful and famous, and then again dragged underneath to suffer. When we get our head above the water, we think, oh, very nice, but just like we have some money like this, or that example I gave, rich, powerful, famous, but still our bodies, our head is up above the water, but our body is below, and the waves will come, and again, we'll go under the water. We don't escape the water by just putting our head above it slightly. Kachu habu dubu bai. This is our position. Miche mayar jale, jacho beshe, Kacha Habu Dubu Bai. We're in the waves of material existence and we're coming up. Breathe a little, go down again. Ah, and we go down under the water and again we're holding up and again we come up. And then this is the illusion of material existence, which we call normal when there's no overt condition of massive disturbance such as this coronavirus epidemic. So the real question should be, how can we get free from this situation? That's what a really intelligent person should think about. In this regard, we find Narad Muni's instruction in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tasyaiva Heito Prayatoyata Kovido Nalabhyate Yad Brahmatam Rupyadha Talabhyate Dukavaranyata Sukham Kalena Sarvatra Gabhira Ranghasa. He says that someone who's understanding the situation of this material world, who's very thoughtful, thinks deeply, doesn't think in a superficial manner, he considers that, well, sometimes we're happy in material life, supposedly happy. Sometimes we're in a higher position. Sometimes we're in a lower position. This all goes on by the subtle influence of time, which we cannot understand exactly how it's working, but it's beyond our control. Sometimes we're in a so-called good position, sometimes we're in a so-called bad position, and this way there's happiness and distress in this world. But an actually intelligent person should think how to go beyond this. What is there in this world? Even if we go up to Brahma Loka, the highest situation in this material world, or go down to the lower regions of this material world, this material universe, there's suffering everywhere. So if we're actually intelligent, we should think how to go beyond this, because there's suffering everywhere. How to get free from the suffering? Then we shall have to think, why are we suffering? What is the cause of this suffering? Just like now, various scientists are attempting to find vaccines for this virus to stop it at the root. But to find the vaccine for the virus, we have to understand that the scientists, they have to be highly trained and they have to understand how it works, how it infects the body and how that infection, that process of infection can be stopped. So it requires a lot of understanding. So in the same way, we have to understand what is the root cause of our suffering within this material world. Actually, it's philosophically much more easy to understand the root cause of our suffering in this material world, and not just suffering from viruses, but suffering from mosquito bites and suffering from taunts of others and suffering from being physically and mentally abused. So many kinds of suffering. It's just unimaginable. And we can only imagine the suffering of humans, but how much have we suffered in so many lives? Suffering as camels, suffering as insects which are eaten by a small insect is eaten by a bird and the bird is caught by the cat, and there's a whole chain. The cat is chased by the dog is chased by the tiger is shot by the man is shot by another man. We're suffering in various ways, in various species of life. What is the root cause of it all? We can easily understand it. Anyone can understand without being actually a very sophisticated philosopher. Just if one has a little clear thinking, then one can understand this point. Krishna bhuli se jivanadi bahirmukh ataiv maya tare daya sangsar dukh. We've forgotten Krishna. Krishna is always happy. When we forget Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is our constitutional position to love Him and serve Him, when we forget Him, then we desire to enjoy separate from Him, and then we come into this world of illusion, because the whole concept of trying to enjoy separately from Him is impossible. It's like a spark wanting to be a blazing fire, and therefore leaves the whole fire. But then the spark, which has a little light from being in the fire, when it goes out of the fire, not only can it not become a big fire by itself, but it simply becomes extinguished. So this is the situation. We have to go beyond this material world if we're going to get free from suffering, because this material world is, by its very constitution, full of suffering. But we are not constitutionally full of suffering. Why don't we just accept it as normal to suffer? Because we're not meant for that. We are constitutionally full of bliss, just as Krishna is constitutionally full of bliss. But we have to reconnect with Krishna. Then we can again be blissful. It's a simple thing to understand. So the problem is forgetfulness of Krishna. The solution is to think of Krishna, to remember Krishna. And to remember Krishna means to remember who we are. We are meant to serve Krishna. That comes naturally. We think of Krishna. Think of Krishna means that we understand Krishna to be the one person to whom we are to give our love, to give our service. And when we do that, then automatically we become linked with Krishna. It's a natural link. And then we become happy. It's automatic. Like plugging into the powerhouse. And then we become... We may have a sophisticated piece of electrical apparatus. It has to be plugged into the power. Then it works. So in the same way, we don't work. We're disconnected if we're not plugged in to Krishna. So therefore, Krishna advises to think of Him. The Vedic literatures, they tell us, smartavya satatang Vishnu, vismartavya najatu chit. To always remember Vishnu, Krishna, never forget Him. Sarvavidhi nishedasya etayo eva kinkaraha. All the teachings of the scriptures, all the rules given in scriptures, they're all meant to serve this principle of always thinking of Krishna and never forgetting Him. And Krishna tells the same thing in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskaru. Mame vaishasi satyang te pratijane priyosi me. Always think of me, Krishna tells to Arjuna. Become my devotee. Bow down to me. Worship me. In this way you will definitely come to me, and I promise you this, Krishna tells Arjuna, because you're my very dear friend. Sarvadhaman parityaja mame kam sharanam vraja. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna so many things about so many topics, about karma, jnana, yoga, about the demigods, the material energy, how it's working, and the psychology that leads us to suffering in this world, the intricacies of that psychology, how by becoming attached to material things, then our consciousness becomes bewildered and polluted and so many things. Understanding Bhagavad Gita is not very easy, but Krishna tells Arjuna, well, to understand all these things is not very easy. To follow all these processes, karma, jnana, yoga, that's not easy either. So you just do this one easy thing. You can forget all that and just surrender to me. And I'll look after you. Ahang tva sarva pabhebhyo moksha yashami masucha. I'll look after you. I'll deliver you from all sinful reaction. And then Ishang Tantagatang Papang Jananang Punya Karma Nam Te Danva Moha Nirmukta Bhajante Mangdudavrata. When one is free from sinful reaction, then, and he's free from duality, thinking in terms of I, me, I am nija, this is mine, paroviti, that's someone else's. And instead of thinking in terms of I, me, my friends, my enemies, I like you, I don't like you, this is, I'm too hot, I'm too cold, now I'm feeling happy, now I'm not happy, there's dualities of this material world. These dualities, thinking in terms of the body, it means that as long as we have that, as long as we think in terms of this body, what I want for this body, what I don't want for this body, that is all a result of sinful mentality. And with this sinful mentality, which manifests in trying to be happy in this material world and avoid distress, then we cannot worship Krishna with full determination. So if we just surrender to Krishna, automatically we become free from sinful reactions. Then we can think of Krishna, antakale chamameva smaran mukma kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nasyatra sangshaya. One who thinks of me, Krishna says, at the time of death, certainly that person will come to me. Without a doubt. Why? How does that happen? Yang yang vapisman bhavam tyajyante vakalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tad bhavita bhavita. Whatever we think of at the time of death, that propels us into another body according to our mentality. So in this way we go on life after life after life. But the thing is to think of Krishna, then we go to Krishna. And if we go to Krishna, Janma karma chame devyame vangyo veti tatvataha tyakva dehang punara janma naiti mameti surjuna. If we think of Krishna, then what happens, if we understand Krishna, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he appears in this world. He appears in this world not like you and me to suffer, but to save us from suffering. If we understand this, his coming to this world, his activities in this world, on a completely different platform to ours, they're completely transcendental, then beyond the suffering, the happiness and distress and the good and the bad and all this mental concoctions of this material world, if we simply understand this, then when we give up this body, we die, we don't get born again, we go to Krishna in the spiritual world. Therefore, Krishna tells Arjuna, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mama nasmara yudhyata mayarpita manobuddhe mama evaishyasya sangshaya. Therefore, one should practice this, Krishna tells Arjuna. You have to fight, Krishna told Arjuna. We all don't have to fight. We all have to do something in this world. But whatever we do, we should remember Krishna always. And in this way, we will surely go to Krishna. So this is the formula. Think of Krishna, and immediately we stop suffering. If we start, even if we think, to, even in our present situation, even if we're dying of some disease, or we're all dying at every moment, we're feeling so much suffering, immediately when we think of Krishna, and immediately, everything is so nice. Just like an example, a child suffering, crying, and the mother picks up the child. Immediately the child, very nice. The child becomes peaceful, happy. So in the same way, we are suffering, being separated from Krishna. Then we simply come in Krishna's arms, very nice, very happy. And then we go to Krishna. So this is the solution. Very simple thing. When will the suffering end? When we go to Krishna. And how can we go to Krishna? We can do it right now. We can all start our journey to Krishna right now. Actually, anyone who's listening to this talk, They've started their journey toward Krishna, because we're talking about Krishna. And we can keep on our journey, daily going toward Krishna, being with Krishna, living with Krishna, by the process of devotional service. Chanting the names of Krishna, there are so many names of Krishna. Hare Nama Krishna, Yadavaya Namaha, Gopal Govinda Ram, Srimad Husudan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chanting the names of Krishna, associating with devotees of Krishna, taking only food offered to Krishna, worshipping the beautiful form of Krishna, who very kindly manifests himself in the form of the deity, in the form of pictures. Krishna very kindly makes himself available to us. Krishna doesn't suffer. We suffer forgetting Krishna. We can end this suffering forever very simply, simply by becoming Krishna conscious. All glories to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who has made that possible for all of us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Dante nidhaya trinakang padaya nipatya kritva chakaku shatameta dahang bravimi he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat chaitanya chandra charane kurutanu ragaha vancha kalpataru bhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo Namo Namaha.